we've got these large onboarding teams that are managing every micro moment of this. They're not able to utilize a seamless flow. It's, I got to get this done. 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 And they're trying to amalgamate all of this together. And that can be really disjoined for that candidate, you know, in what they're going through. So, you know, being able to deliver an envelope that helps that candidate get from place to place or do whatever steps can be really impactful and create a much more seamless process, not only for like the candidate, but like your own internal experience matters just as much as them, because you've got burnout, you've got teammates that are overworked, you know, they've got disconnected systems, right? They're just trying to get like, you know, tails in seats, right? That becomes really difficult. And, you know, you just have to manage all those levels of the experience.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Digitally transform your business the right way, the Leap way. Visit www.leapconsultingsolutions.com to find out more on how your business can build, change, and adopt technology the right way, the Leap way.
Lauren Jones, how are you today?
Oh my God, it's a musical opening today. Oh, listen, Oh boy, everybody watch out, because Rob's on one today. So watch it, watch out.
I feel like you should be on one every day. That's how life should be. Like life
every day. Sometimes you're a fuddy duddy.
Oh, get out of here. Pish posh, Lauren Jones. Pish posh.
Pish posh, Lady Buffington. Pish posh.
By the way, that's Lady Buffington. Oh my God. So funny news. Netflix, like Disney. Like Disney started off as IP, right? Movies and stuff. And Netflix has, they bought IP, but they made their own. They're starting to create stores, and they're going to start creating like theme park like stores for their original movies and stuff. So like they have like Bridgerton dresses on sale. They held Bridgerton balls last year.
Oh my.
And like you can buy like a $39 ticket and go to the ball. They had like 50 engagements, and that's why they're now selling like $1,600 Bridgerton wedding gown. It's like, it's incredible. I love IP. IP is great. Got to be creating your own stuff, guys. Anyway, that was amazing.
Don't be carried away.
By the way, we have Brad Heber on, right? I got the last name right.
Yes, co-founder of the Kick-Ass Tool, Vetti.
Which I was wearing a Vetti shirt this morning to work out. It's so comfortable.
Vetti. What's the coolest backpacks this side of the Mississippi? Just saying.
Workout life.
Hire faster. Wear cool swag. Yeah. Get buff. All with Vetti. I mean, is that a tagline or what?
I mean, is. Oh my God.
I love it.
He's in dad mode with his fanny pack right now.
I love it. I have to go back though. So is this only happening in your neck of the woods? Cause you're in Florida where all of this, like,
no, it's national or like international. This is a thing. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. You know, I've always wanted a Netflix store.
Right. Or like going back, did you really want a Disney store in the 1930s or like 40s?
No. I don't know.
No, but I'm not a Disney kid. My eldest daughter is like, they are just like, they just love Disney. They spent their first anniversary at Disney. They got engaged at Disney. I don't know where she got it. Oh. I suppose I'm here for any sort of obsession. I guess people wouldn't be at the racetrack like I am every weekend. So everybody's got something.
There's a lot of folks from Miami that are Disney heads, and I feel weird about it.
Into it.
Well, super interesting and just random facts. So before I was a hiring nerd and an onboarding strategist and all of these things that is part of Vetti, I went to school for professional performance. I got a degree in music.
This does not surprise me.
So what was super interesting is when I was going through my program, you realize how much impact Disney and the Disney children's shows have had on even what we listen to.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, I'll just fast forward, but you know, like Justin Timberlake, All of those cats, those are all
Christina.
Yeah, Brittany,
Aguilera,
Christina, all of them. I mean, all of it. It is an engine.
Selena Gomez.
An engine.
Gracilino.
And it's incredible because it starts so young. And it's just this magic, this incredible thing. And they have the airwaves. They have the video. They have, a plethora of ways to impact our 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, all the way up till now. It's pretty wild when you think about it.
Yeah.
That was long-winded. Sorry.
No, we're here for it, Brad. We're here. We're excited to have you.
We are.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
This is a 6-month-making episode.
Yes, this is so true. So we said that we were going to do this in Las Vegas.
Was it last?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
In Las Vegas Staffing World, we sat down at the coffee shop and we're like, we're totes going to do this. And a year later, after Staffing World, here we are.
Anyway.
Well, everyone's been really busy. It's been quite a year. So congratulations. And I could be more excited to be here right now. And I don't know when this will air, but right after, maybe we were just back out at healthcare again. And I'm sure we're all just going to be just rocked and busy.
It's
going to
air. I could tell you it's going to air probably the 28th or the 5th. So of 28th Friday? Of October or the 5th of Brad, I feel like you're a Halloween episode. So I'll put you on the 28th.
I'll see you in Vegas then. At least I don't know about Lauren yet.
All right. Okay.
No,
so
we
got to get to work.
Off my dance card this year. Too busy. Let's start with Brad's questions. So we have to get to know every guest, and Rob is going to start with the first question. So,
all right.
Riddle it with this.
Brad, what book would you recommend to our good listener right now? I'm not sure why I said that so deeply.
Oh, what book would I recommend right now to a listener? That's a great stumping question. I have been reading Aligning the Dots, entrepreneurial book. And actually what this is about is connecting the different value propositions to the results of your organization and really dialing in the things that you don't hear.
That's a great book.
This is what I've been nerding to lately. Our whole team is reading it and we go through these exercises and it's been super helpful. It's not your rom-com type book or an easy read. You're talking about like the performance of your organization, but you got to move waves
in color tone her shelves.
Yes.
Yep.
No,
that's what I've been reading.
My girl, Erica Keswin, just released her book, The Retention Revolution. I got it last night. I cannot wait to dig into it. She's amazing. So cool. We are book nerds over here, Brad. So we're here for it. Okay. So now tell us your most memorable moment in staffing.
there's been so many of them. But here's what I'll tell you. My most memorable moment is when we broke the ice that we're coming into the sector and we're coming in full strong. It was at SIA Gig Economy 2021 fall, and they had like their early risers or their rising tide.
Yes.
And it was like a whiz bang presentation. You had 3 minutes and I got up on stage.
Yes.
Yes. It was like, hey, here we are and we're coming. And it was an awesome presentation. It was super fun. And I whipped a selfie up on stage with like hundreds of people behind me. And it was a really good time. That's probably my most memorable, like,
trajectory change. So it was equally as memorable on this side. So
yeah.
I do remember that. That's fantastic.
Lauren always makes you feel better about yourself.
I try.
All right. All right. So how about greatest achievement, professional or personal to date? Besides good in whatever headwear you're wearing right now, which is a personal.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know what I'll tell you, not to be swarmy or not to be whatever, but, you know, as the co-founder of the company, I'm really proud of us as a team right now. We were founded in 2016, built silently till 2018, launched in 2018. We became the official partner of Sherm, in 2020, and just took off from there during a pandemic. We never did a riff. We never had reductions of force. We just kept adding, like, with intelligence and really strategic, and we're all here. And I've got a team of people that has been to all kinds of stuff together.
That's so charming. I love it. Okay.
I'm proud of it. You know, we're here.
With our greatest success comes the other side of it, the greatest failure. What is your greatest failure?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know what? The greatest failure, maybe not always knowing when to walk away yet.
That's a lot of failure. Do you have a story they want to share?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you're in the staffing space, so it's a pretty easy one to talk about, but you're all uniquely the same and uniquely different all at once.
Oh, it's insane. Are you talking about, like, the way that people operate their staffing business?
Oh, the way they operate their staffing business, the way they operate their technology, the way they operate their recs, the way they operate their workflow, the way they upload a document into whatever it is. Listen, it is a really challenging scenario. It is.
As a business solely based on the fact that no one can do anything the same.
Yeah. And therefore, she's all of them. Yeah. She's a unicorn. And that's what it's hard. That's what I'll say is learning here is, you go after all these targets and you try to approach the businesses where you can drive the most value, where they're having the most amount of negative impact. Right? Like, how do we win together? And typically we're able to drive the most amount of value where organizations have the most amount of throughput and the most amount of friction. That's a hard problem to solve. And I think we're going to be much, much more diligent about that process and qualifying those ways earlier on. You have to do that. And that's just something that I want to do better with our customers.
Yeah. Qualifying in and out is a really good thing with staffing. Yeah. Because
ICP, we talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying
it's not even the ICP. It's just wanting. I think that all of us, and I will say this for the three of us, just knowing Brad the way that I do, we all want to fix. We all want to make better. We all want to leave something better than we found it. And I think, when you want that so badly, sometimes it's really hard to know when you just can't accept that the client may not feel that same way.
Yeah. Yeah, or they may want it too,
but they just got to work.
But they got to work through some stuff on their side too, and that's such a hard thing. Change management. That's why there's specialists in change management. Mm-hmm. But that's the hard thing. That's probably my most challenging story is just really taking all of that in and blending that into the right deliverable.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. We haven't had that one yet. Okay, so what all of our audience is waiting to hear: are you a dog person or a cat person?
Yeah, well, so the reality is we're a both person.
Wow.
Our family's pretty unique in general. For those of you that know me or don't know me, you'll find this out, but like, I'm very open. So we have a blended family. We've got two 14-year-olds that are 4 days apart. Like, that's at our core. So how could we just be a dog family or a cat family? We obviously have to have both. So we've got a young pup named Winston. He's 18, 19 months old. He's a lover. He was born on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And we have Kitty, which is slightly obvious, a cat. And I don't know its birthday, but we got that one when the kids were a little bit younger. And it was one that we had fostered in or adopted in or got from a shelter. And, we just called it Kitty for a while. Like, can I get any treat? We didn't have kids were so little. So now we've got Kitty and okay. Kitty is Kitty.
I like it. I have a goat named Winston. So okay. I like that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. So we are the You Own the Experience podcast. And I don't think that we can talk with you without talking about, experience for candidates. And as we know today, candidates are not having the best experience out there. And, you know, what I am really focused on with businesses is be easy to do business with. Buy the tools that make it easy for candidates to do business with you. You know, we're in this consumer generation. So you've shared so many thoughts on this topic. So let's talk about experience and let's talk about being easy to do business with.
Yeah. Do you want me to dive in?
Dive in.
Spot?
Go for it, Brad.
From your frame of reference.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to get a little bit nerdy here. I'm going to be short, but I'm super intentional about this component of it. For what it's worth, for the folks that don't know who Vetti is a hiring acceleration platform. We sit between, and the goalposts we own are from offer to active. So, depending on the vertical that you're in, or depending on the type of persona that you hire, that can look a lot different, you know, lightweight industrial, versus, you know, an LPN or some, a registered nurse of some sort, right? There's a whole different one to it. Regardless of that, you're dealing with a human, and that human interacts with all of these different things, just like you and I do. So that's Uber, that's, you know, movie tickets, that's text messaging. It's all of these consumer normal things that we've experienced now. So I'm pretty passionate about this, and I'm passionate on two fronts. I'm going to start with buyer acquisition. So you said, make it easy for customers to buy from you. And then you said, make it easy for candidates to buy from you. Whether you're a selling person or whether you're selling a candidate on you, the experience in which you work with a customer or a prospect and giving them this incredible, just nurtured, nudged, polite, meaningful process is so helpful. So it starts with a really great sales funnel. Like from a sales standpoint, I care a lot about how people become the Vetti customer. I can tell you that we worked on this process so much during our time of during the pandemic that I think we added almost maybe 500 to 600 customers without ever even speaking to them during the pandemic, right? And that's because you create these really good experiences once you understand them. Now put yourself in the world of consuming a candidate, right? Like where you're onboarding this candidate. At the time of an offer, you've extended the highest amount of spend on them at that point. You know, your cost of acquisition, you've paid per click. You've had interviews, one, two, they've invested time, they've filled out something on an app, all of these different things. You've got a major cost of acquisition right there. And that moment is the time where it's the art of conversion, it's speed to revenue. And as an operator, right, as someone who's in the staffing company trying to position these folks, you want to take them through this experience. It's just like so lovely. Mm-hmm. That they're a raving candidate, that the chance of attrition is like so low. Like, why would they go do something else when you can nail that? And it's really about connecting disconnected pathways. And in my opinion, from offer to active is one of the most significant ones that can either do you right or do you wrong. You know, staffing teams are really focused on retention. That starts at, you know, day one, which is, in our opinion, once the offer is extended, you know, that's intent.
Right.
So, you know, being zeroed in on it, you know, really changes the way you focus it.
Well, and I think you said it before, and I'll say it again. I love being a turtle. There you go, Rob. But I think the foundation of all of this, and you alluded to it, is communication, right? You know, communication is such a fundamental part of people knowing what's coming next. You have attrition and you have fall off and you have disconnect when people don't know what's happening next, when people don't know what where they're supposed to go, if they're supposed to go left or supposed to go right, or supposed to click on this, they're supposed to click on that. And when there's little direction and no communication, you have uncertainty, which creates distrust.
Yeah. And, you know, in the healthcare sector, I don't even know if I'd say it's no communication. Sometimes it's over communication, right?
Uh-huh.
We've got these large onboarding teams that are managing every micro moment of this. They're not able to utilize a seamless flow. It's, I got to get this done. 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 And they're trying to amalgamate all this together. And that can be really disjoined for that candidate, you know, in what they're going through. So, you know, being able to deliver an envelope that helps that candidate get from place to place or do whatever steps can be really impactful and create a much more seamless process, not only for like the candidate, but like your own internal experience matters just as much as them, because you've got burnout, you've got teammates that are overworked, you know, they've got disconnected systems, right? They're just trying to get like, you know, tails in seats, right? That becomes really difficult. And, you know, you just have to manage all those levels of the experience, in my opinion.
Well, and part of that is something you call Google modes, which we might in the industry call omnichannel, like meeting the candidate where they're at, right? But you call it Google modes. So explain to our listeners.
All right. So for what it's, what's going on right now is an interesting conversation. So Betty, what we specialize in, again, from offer to active, is helping candidates go through high friction onboarding. We do a ton in the healthcare space. One of the biggest challenges in healthcare, or if you're running drug checks at all in clinics, is getting that candidate to where they need to be. And you know, there's lots of ways that we can go about this. We can program things from a cost standpoint, meaning we're going to help drive down the cost of acquisition to the client user. But there's also the convenience factor, which is like, hey, we actually want to pick labs that are just really close to that candidate. So there's all of this technology nowadays on how we, you know, using the Google API, we may not know it, but how our data is shared and how we locate the thing that's nearest to us, right? Like, you know, a restaurant or whatever on Yelp. Well, Vetti, where we're going next and what we're super excited about is as we look to automate like pathways for the candidates to go to different clinics, what we've learned is, you know, sometimes 3.1 miles isn't just 3.1 miles. You know, Lauren, you and I had this conversation. It happened around, you know, a couple of drinks and a prospect, right? That, but the scenario, he's like, hey, 3.1 miles is actually like a 2-hour drive in Boston. What would be awesome is that if you integrated Google modes into your system. And I was like, well,
mind blowing.
Heck yeah, you're right. Yeah. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. He's like, because our candidates are using transit. You know, our candidates don't all have vehicles. And you have to meet them where you are and where they are, or excuse me, meet them where they are. You got to come to them. And I was like, oh yeah. So I took it back and instantly we start kind of rethinking this process of that, you know, we have to go a step further than just being close, right? We had to be able to map them where they need to go.
I love that. Again, you're being easy to do business with. You're making it easy for the candidate to get whatever hoops they need to jump through. And in healthcare in particular, there are hoops that need to be jumped through. That's just the name of the game. We expect it in that credentialing process. But making it easy for them to get those things done, that will make the difference, particularly in healthcare. And that takes us right down the credentialing road. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I would like to highlight that Boston needs a line that goes from the north to the south. How is that a thing?
You know what? We just solved the problems, Rob. We just solved the problem. We can solve.
Well, I wanted to highlight that, Robert.
Well, we appreciate this. But credentialing is something, let me just tell you this, Brad, as a consultant, and we, you know, we serve every shape and size of customer out there. But I will tell you one of the pieces that we spend so many hours on when we're talking with healthcare agencies or those agencies that service healthcare is about credentialing and the amount of manual labor and work that goes into managing this. So many resources. I have one company that has 12 people, you know, offshore to manage this massive manual spreadsheet of candidates going through the credentialing process. And only is that not scalable. You know, we can't just continue to throw spreadsheets and people at the problem. But it's not a great internal experience, you know, for your candidates and administrators and et cetera. And we have to be mindful of that. Rob and I always say there are three customers in this whole scenario. There's your candidates, your clients, and your colleagues. We have to think about them because they're also consumers. And so making their life difficult through these, you know, extensive processes and lengthy spreadsheets, you know, is not a great experience either. And so internally and externally, we have to make the credentialing process easier.
Yeah. Well, and then layer on a labor shortage.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead and do that.
Right.
What is it? For every one nurse, there are 8 openings.
Oh, yeah. And then layer a strike on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They still on strike, like 5,000 nurses.
75,000. And it doesn't matter how many days it's for. The impact on that, like that's direct correlation. It's so interesting. But yeah, the credentialing component's broken in many of my.
Well, I think, opinions. But I think that's the governments and the local governments.
Well, it is. But even so many times, this internal compliance process, like what you said, you know, it's heads at worksheets. It's heads at Excels and it's
red this heads.
Yeah. And, you know, where we've been really like provocative is like compliance is a service, right? Like, how does that look? Right. How can we take in a candidate from offer, ingest some information from your existing ATS or whatever, push it over to us, update it, keep it readily available for you, parse it out when things need changed, updates, physicals, mask fits, all those different things, bring it all back together, hit them with a license renewal and check them all that out in one flow. Like that is what compliance of a service sounds like to me. Right, where you're able to help these organizations manage all of these disparate components within one unique scenario. And that's what Betty came to do. And what's powerful and like what's getting more and more important is your ability to deliver not just like a compliance around a candidate, but like the micro components, right? So we need this, we need this, we need this. We don't need that, but we need this. Right. The ability to ad hoc build things for candidates is really complex for organizations to manage. And that's what we do really well.
Well, I will tell you, you're bridging a gap that is pretty wide right now. In what we see and where we see just a ton of manual effort. And that, you know, I will say it before, I'll say it again. Technology is an enhancer. It is not a replacement. And so we need to leverage technology where we can. And if we can enhance and accelerate this part of the experience, oh my gosh, why wouldn't we invest in doing that? It makes no sense to me that we would just throw more people and more Excel spreadsheet at the problem.
That's what we do. We think it's more efficient.
Well, and the hard part, the hard part too, not to go long here, but like, you know, trust is earned, not given.
Uh-huh.
And staffing companies have built up a ton of trust on their teams. It is the workhorse that powers their business day in and day out. And what's hard about trusting technology is you're trusting technology to do some of the things that your team is doing right now and maybe doing well enough, or it might be getting it done, but that team could be so overwhelmed. That team may not be reaching other strategic objectives that they need to be more focused on than, you know, calling and chasing down donor passes or whatever. Like that's not the world of it. So there's this whole like component of change management around trust that organizations have to not learn how to adapt, but learn how to trust and test trust, right? Like how you go about working with organizations to replace that, to take that big change management. You can't just take this massive company that hires thousands of people a month and just rip the Band-Aid off and be like, trust us, it'll be fine. It's not that. You have to take some intentional steps to be able to really implement and drive value through your technology. Because that's what I see a lot is these staffing companies have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into their technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also often got good technology, but one's in a silo, another one's in the silo, the other one's running perpendicular in a silo. It's really complex. So taking all that and amalgamating it through someone like yourself or consultants that are specialized in that is really helpful. And it brings technology to use.
100%. Okay. So let's wrap this little bow. We've talked about making it easy. for candidates, customers, and our internal colleagues to do business with us. Meeting candidates, meeting clients where they are. And that comes in many different shapes and forms. Sometimes it can come in the form of a great process, a process improvement. Sometimes it can come in the form of technology, like Betty. Sometimes it can come in the form of meeting somebody where they may not know something, and that's in the form of training. We have all of these opportunities to help improve experience, and training actually comes in the form of upskilling when we're talking to candidates. And we talked about that yesterday. On one of our episodes,
which will be the episode before this one.
There's an opportunity for us to have a real impact on how all of this is shaped and how all of this moves forward. So, what are some of leave us with your final words of wisdom in this area? Your final words of wisdom.
Candidates, communicate to them like goldfish.
Oh,
short.
I like that.
Simple.
Short, concise.
To the point.
Be brief, be bright, be gone.
Yep.
That's how I like these episodes.
Right. Not everything has to be a novel, right?
And everything has to be a long form.
If it's clever or not in a third grade simple language, it's not going to work. And that doesn't matter what level of candidate you're working with. That's not to say vertical agnostic.
And it's not because people are dumb. This is a big misnomer out there, because these are absolute words of wisdom that you're leaving us with, Brad. Yeah. It is statistically proven that putting content out there that it is at an 11-year-old level gets more response than any other long-form, overcomplicated content ever will.
It's so important. If you don't have, I don't have great copy skills. I've mine's gotten better after a lot of practice and really trying to articulate well. But if writing is hard for you or you're struggling with ideas, there are two apps that helped me out so much. One, Grammarly.
Hello.
It's $11.99 a month or whatever. Buy it. You won't make those silly mistakes. And it's like, oh, wow, that sentence sounds a little bit better. And then next thing you know, you start keeping me. Yeah, that helped. And the next thing is, if you're not using ChatGPT yet because you're afraid to use it, go Google it, click on it, set up yourself a free little account and say, help me write a dinner plan for my family of four for the next 5 nights. And you'll have your mind blown. Then take it a step further and start thinking about the little messages and rewriting your copy on your descriptions or your job boards, and really start figuring out how people convert, because that language, that processing, that copy, it is done at scale now for free and removes such a hurdle that people like myself and so many other creators, content creators, struggle with. This does a great job of it. So I just think communication is such a key important piece.
And it keeps it simple. Ask Bard to write a rap song about you, Brad. If you need a confidence booster, go to Bard, ask it to write a rap song about you, and it's going to make your day.
By the way, I think I got rid of Grammarly because of
ChatGPT and Bard and Jasper and Copy and all of it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But you know, it's helped me. Mm-hmm. It's helped our marketing sequences. I get kind of blocked up in my writing sometimes, or, you know, just it's been great. So anyways, explore your ability to use technology in all kinds of ways.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Kiss. Keep it simple, silly.
Yeah. Nice about that. All right. Well, Brad,
thank you so much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you. It's lovely being here. I really appreciate it.
All right. Keep it real.
Yeah. Always.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whyweepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why We newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.